Welcome back to another episode of The Sweet Spot, brought to you by The Racing Post in association with Free Super Tips. I'm Dave Clark. He is Steve Palmer. Steve, how are you?
Good morning, Dave. Yes, I'm okay, thanks. I enjoyed the darts more than the golf last week. The darts couldn't have gone any better, but the golf could have gone a lot better. Akshay Bhatia, 32nd place. Sahith Theegala, 36th place. Yeah, we're hoping for better this week.
Well, should we get the darts out of the way? Because the YouTube comments were littered with jovial darts punters having followed you in, having nailed the forecast, really.
Good, good, good. No, it was so enjoyable, wasn't it? I mean, what a sportsman we've got there. Will he go odds on for the next World Championship is the question I'm asking. I mean, he's that good. He's going to dominate. So, yeah, I think he'd potentially go odds on for the 2026 World Championship. And, I just love Luke Littler. Do you love Luke Littler?
I do. I like Luke Humphries as well. Do you think he could win another one?
Well, yeah, Luke Humphries is the only player that can sort of live with Luke Littler. So it remains to be seen how they approach 2025. I can see Littler's dominance continuing. I think Littler's just going to get better and better. And Humphries, maybe we've seen the best of him. I don't know. We shall see. It's an exciting year of darts ahead. It's an exciting year of golf ahead.
Indeed. Right, well, last week, it didn't quite go to plan. The tips were, as you say, Steve, nowhere near the frame. But I don't want you to beat yourself up, because betting and tipping on golf is very hard. Last week, we rejoiced about what a brilliant year you'd have. Your P&L was almost 600 points in front. So a week nowhere near the frame, it happens, because it's hard, mate.
Well, they were slow out the traps, weren't they, Dave? I know you like your greyhound racing. I mean, they finished strongly over the weekend. They both played really well, but they left themselves so tailed off. So, they need to, our tips need to trap a bit better this week, Dave.
Right, well, what have we got coming up on this week's show? We've got the Sony Open, we've got the Team Cup as well, and Steve will give you the lowdown on that. It's quite a new event, that one. We'll, of course, look back before we look forward as well to the Century. We're here, of course, on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Do remember to like, comment and subscribe. Wonderful Sweet Spot community, whether it's darts, golf, everything. It's all in there. So come along and join the party. Right, we'll start with a look back then with the Century and a record score on the PGA Tour here, 35 under Hideki Matsuyama. Colin, I'm good for a place. Morikawa was back in second. And Vegas, 32, 29 and 25. You predicted a very low scoring event, this one, Steve, as it has been in recent years, but 35.
35 to 1. And the other number is you could have got 22 to 1 Hideki Matsuyama. We try not to kick ourselves about last week, but Hideki Matsuyama was there for the taking, really. Historically, very good at Kapalua. He finished in the top four in his first three starts in the Century. And we spoke last week about how short game is very important at Kapalua around those enormous greens. Matsuyama has always been really strong in that department. So, yeah, maybe we should have been beating ourselves up. It was just last year's performance which put me off, Dave. He finished 58th of 59 in last year's Century. He turned up. It was a shambolic performance. Carded a third round 76, I believe. So I just couldn't trust him to turn up in good nick, really, because he's an injury-plagued player. He's always got issues with his neck, his back, his wrist. I just wasn't prepared to take the gamble that he'd turn up, fully fit and fully focused. But it's exactly what he was last week. It was a hugely impressive performance. All his body was in good order, it seemed. He put a new putter in the bag. Did you notice that, Dave? Got a new Scotty Cameron putter in the bag. Used it for the first time last week and hold everything. His iron play, it was absolutely exceptional as always. And 35 under par. I mean, blimey. I mean, I thought Cameron Smith's record of 34 under par would last for a little bit, because the course changes they made a few years back, they were supposed to make it more difficult, and it hasn't happened. It may be firmer and faster, but it's still extremely easy.
And talk about the new putter. If you got wind or read that a player is starting to use a new putter, I know every player's different and every bit of equipment's different. Would you see that as a positive or a negative if they're making a notable equipment change going into an event?
Well, you can get a new putter bounce. Everyone talks about the new manager bounce, don't they? And you're probably getting very excited about a new manager bounce at West Ham. It seems that there may be trouble afoot there for Julian Lopetegui, whatever his name is. So I think you do get a new putter bounce. I mean, remember Austin Eckroat won the Worldwide Technology Championship at the end of last year with the first week of the new putter. I think, yeah, you get a new putter in your hands. Yeah, you know, as an amateur golfer, you get a new putter in the hands. It can be quite exciting and you hole a few. I remember going through a new putter quite regularly when I used to play golf on a regular basis. And I think there is such a thing as a new putter bounce. So we've just called it that.
Okay. Any other takeaways from that event?
Well, I think we've just got to take away that Hideki Matsuyama, when he's at his best, he is one of the very best players in the world, isn't he? Yeah,
he's up to number five now. Yeah.
He's world number five, yeah. And I think, when he's fully fit, fully focused, and has got his A game is as good as anyone's, I'd say. I really enjoyed watching him last week, even though I spent 70 holes beating myself up. I mean, Colin Morikawa, I wasn't going to beat myself up if he won. He was only 12-1 last week. I was nowhere near tipping him. 32 under par, though, and 32 under par and not enough to win the title. Did you see the F-bomb? I mean, he blotted his copybook a little bit in the post-round interview on Sunday because he was so frustrated that 32 under par wasn't enough to win. He had a potty mouth on him,
we've spoken about him at length, and he just doesn't win enough, does he, Morikawa? I mean, I've backed him each way a million times, and he's good for a place, but he just doesn't get over the line.
Well, he hasn't won in the States since the old King died, but, you know, he's got to be encouraged by that performance. He was peppering pins all week. It's only because Matsuyama was so unbelievably good. Morikawa's putter just cooled a little bit at the weekend. He started the tournament putting well, but 32 under par, you would have assumed he would have a very good chance of winning that tournament. We've got to keep an eye on Morikawa. He is all class and very well-rounded golfer. And as you say, he can cream all the place returns. You know, he can keep you ticking over nicely. Ludwig Aubert must be mentioned. We cannot move on without talking about Ludwig Aubert because he fired rounds of 65 and 64. He had it over the weekend. He had a 17 under par weekend. So it seems like Aubert warming up his engine nicely. I'm a bit worried that we haven't got him in our majors acca. We did our majors acca last week, and maybe Ludwig Aubert, we should have found a place for him. I don't know. Yeah, we like our majors acca, but Ludwig may be the danger man. And Xander Schauffele, how do we pronounce Xander Schauffele these days? We created a new one last week, didn't we? Xander Schauffele. Xander Schauffele tied for 30th in a field of 60, and he was a hot favourite last week. Yeah, a flopping favourite. But again, I think it's a classic rust-shedding performance because over the weekend he was very good. I think Schauffele will come good in the weeks to come. And there is one player, Dave. Sorry, I know you're keen to get on to bets because
No. Listen, we're listening in.
You just love bets, don't you? You've got a bit of a betting problem, if I'm honest. No, that was a joke. We all gamble responsibly. Don't start closing Dave's accounts. Victor Hovland needs to be mentioned because Victor Hovland breaks my heart what's happening to Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland finished 36th last week in a field of 60. He won the FedEx Cup not long ago. And since winning that FedEx Cup, he looked like the best player in the world when he was winning the FedEx Cup. I felt he was the best player in the world when he was winning that FedEx Cup. Then he started messing about with his swing, which is just ridiculous. He's had this on-off relationship with Joe Mayo. Have you been following the saga with Joe Mayo? They should do a soap opera on it because it's just, they break up and then they get back together and they break up. You know, better than anything you'll see on EastEnders. And then they've broken up again now. Victor Hovland has not got a coach at the moment. He says he's going to go it alone. Joe Mayo would probably be too... He's been hurt too many times now. He's probably going to... If he says he wants him back...
Drown his sorrows in the Queen Vic, yeah.
Yeah. If he says he wants him back, he'd probably say, no, I can't do it. But then Hovland turns up last week for a fresh start, going it alone. Let's see how he gets on. And he broke a toe on his first night in Hawaii. Did you see that? He was so groggy. He arrived there and he was so groggy on his long flight from Norway. Went to bed, woke up in the middle of the night. He's still got his clothes on. He's not sure where the lights are. And he gets out of bed, smashes his toe into the bed frame, breaks one of his little pinky toes. So he's hobbling around Kapalua last week. His swing's all over the place. I think it's an absolute... Yeah, tragedy is a strong word, but... a golfing tragedy.
We've all done it. I've done it on a door frame, busted the little toe. We've all done it.
Did you? Yeah. I struggle in the middle of the night. I get a bit, bewildered. But you'd think a professional golfer would have enough people around him to look after him, wouldn't you? Like,
They're not going to mollycoddle him in his hotel room when he's waking up. Well, these things happen.
I would just pay someone to sit in the corner room, turn the light on and off for me, if I had his pockets. But
let me ask you about Ludwig and the majors. Which one do you think is most likely to win the Masters? I like him at the Masters.
Blimey, well, his debut in the Masters last year was exceptional, isn't it? Yeah, I can see where you're coming from, Dave. Maybe he is the big danger to Scottie Scheffler. But no, don't worry. We're comfortable with our majors, Acker, but we must be aware of Ludwig Aubert. That rhymes.
Got it all boxed up.
Always be aware. Always be aware of Ludwig Aubert.
That one will come back as well, because it'll be a winner again no time soon.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely. Right, shall we get on to this week's action then,
yes,
shall we?
Yes.
We are in Hawaii for the Sony Open. I've got here, Steve, we are at one of the shortest courses on the tour. It's very narrow. There's a coastal breeze. And the average winning score over the last 12 years is 20 under par. Anything else to add? Where are we off to?
We're off to Waialae Country Club, Honolulu, Hawaii. 7,044 yards, par 70, only two par fives. Host course since 1965. Thin fairway, small greens. Accuracy, the key, as you alluded to there. Sunny, warm weather coming, but quite breezy. Gets windier every day, it seems. A field of 144 going to post. And we must mention before we get onto the tips that obviously Grayson Murray won't be there. Absolute tragedy that Grayson Murray is not defending this title. He won it in a thrilling playoff last year and then in May passed away. So Grayson Murray will be in the thoughts of all the players this week. There'll be lots of looking back on the career and life of Grayson Murray, I'm sure.
Yeah, there will be plenty of chat this week, no doubt, or there should be as well on that. Right, attributes for this course. I've said it's short, it's narrow. What are we looking at, Steve? What sort of player?
Yeah, you have to drive the ball well. You're getting all sorts of trouble if you're not driving the ball well. You can take plenty of irons off the tee because it is so short. But yeah, accuracy from tee to greens, and then you're still going to miss greens no matter how good you're playing because they're so tiny. And then, lots of crosswinds. Yeah, it's a fiddly little track, this.
Right, the market. Matsuyama was also a winner of this event back in 2022. 9-1. Corey Connors, 16s. Tom Kim, 20s. Russell Henley, 22-1. How many are you putting up here, Steve?
Five selections.
Five. Okay, well, the other one's a team event, so I like it. We're going fully armed for this event. Who's the main pick?
Maverick McNealy, 28-1. We're back on the Maverick McNealy Express. We boarded this service regularly for several years, decided to stop using it at the end of last summer. We used some alternative transport instead, but we need to hop back on. Some impressive upgrades in autumn, Dave, I'm sure you'll agree. We can get back on the Maverick McNealy Express. It's going to take us to some wonderful destinations. This lad is playing so well, isn't he, Dave? I know you're a fan. I think we're going to get a team punt out of you here. We all knew.
Yeah, I'm a season ticket holder.
Yeah, you can get rid of your West Ham one. You don't need that anymore. They're rubbish. Immense potential as a youngster. One of the best amateurs we've ever seen. And in his last four tournaments, he's indicated that he may make a significant mark in the professional game as well. He was sixth in the Worldwide Technologies Championship, 17th in the Bermuda Championship. Then he won the RSM Classic at the end of November. There was an earthquake in Georgia after McNealy holed that birdie putt to win by a shot. The earthquake caused by the most enormous monkey leaping off McNealy's back. You know, we've been waiting so long for this. He was 29 years of age. He's 29 when the monkey finally came off. He reacted. Yeah, the reaction was fantastic when he went berserk. He had his brother with him. His brother Scout is the caddy. It was one of the highlights of the year, seeing the joy in the McNealy family and joy for the punters who stuck with him a little bit longer than we did. Yeah, the floodgates may open from here. McNealy loves teeing up at coastal venues like this one. His record in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am is eye-catching. He was second in that in 2021. He won the RSM Classic, of course, by the coast. He was fourth in the 2021 Heritage. And he likes Hawaii. He used to come here a lot as a youngster on family trips. played a lot of Kapalua. His first PGA Tour event in Hawaii yielded 27th place in the 2022 Sony Open. He was seventh. Let me say that again. Seventh in the 2023 Sony Open. Really eye-catching form. 57th last year, but it was in poor form coming into that event. And his century debut last week was great, wasn't it? He finished eighth last week, Dave. Second round 64. That's a hugely impressive warm-up spin for McNealy. He stayed in Hawaii. So, I see a second PGA Tour title coming on Sunday. And that, I know you like stats, Dave. Very important to get this stat out there early. 17 of the 26 Sony Open winners played at Kapalua the previous week. Eight of the last 11 Sony Open winners played at Kapalua the previous week. So four of my five tips had that warm-up spin last week. And, McNealy hit his ball so well last week. It was his short game, amazingly, which let him down. He would have been banging the hunt if he'd had his typical short game last week. I think he's going to put it all together.
I love them stats. And I've got a player this week that I'm going to ask you about if he's not in the five.
Okay.
Hopefully. I've got my eye on one this week. Before we move on, I just wanted to make sure, Maverick McNealy, former amateur world number one or not?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
I knew he was.
He had an incredible career at Stanford.
You didn't mention it, though. What's wrong with you, Steve? You're a changed man.
I don't know. People getting a bit bored of that, wouldn't they? He had an amazing amateur career at Stanford. So he basically was matching records that Tiger Woods created at Stanford. So you're a player when you're breaking records set by Tiger Eldrick Woods.
Absolutely. Right, here's the main pick then. McNealy, who is the next best this week?
Corey Connors. 16-1 available about Corey Connors, who had a contrasting week to McNealy at the Century. Connors did not hit his ball with trademark authorities. He's got very high standards on the ball striking, but he topped the putting stats. Corey Connors topped the putting stats. This man is a potential world beater if he can putt consistently well. He's such a solid ball striker, relentlessly accurate. He'll take such heart from that performance last week on the Kapalua greens, and obviously he's on another set of Hawaii greens this week. If McNealy and Connors get back to doing what they usually do well this week. McNealy's short game is usually excellent. Connors' ball striking, usually excellent. I can see these two dominating the Sony. McNealy's iron play has improved sharply in recent weeks. Connors has found a putting stroke, it appears. I'm so excited about seeing these two put it all together in the Sony Open. Connors has been in great nick. He ended last year with sixth place on his Nedbank Challenge debut. And he was fourth in the Grant Thornton Invitational alongside Brooke Henderson, finished fifth last week in the Century. And this week's layout suits him much more than last week's. He was third in the 2019 Sony Open when ranked 264th in the world and a tour maiden. 12-11-12-57 in his four subsequent Sony starts. The windy forecast this week helps him. So accurate. So, yeah, really solid each-way investment. Corey Connors.
Lovely. I get the vibe, Steve. We're two tips in that you mentioned, obviously, performing the Century and on the island, but course form as well was a big deal for you this week, right?
Absolutely. And because it's a fiddly little track. It's unusual. It's an unusual PGA Tour venue. And we've obviously got reams of course form to go through. So, yeah, you don't want anyone who's turning up here, never seen it before.
So the punters out there, drill down through recent events, recent years, and make your selections. Is what we're saying, right?
That's what we're saying, and back our tips. Okay. We're feeling confident this week. I'm feeling really confident.
Good. You should be confident. Right. Third pick is
Austin Ekroat. 40-1 available about Austin Ekroat, who won twice on the PGA Tour last season. Not getting enough respect for those victories. Made his breakthrough in the Cognizant Classic in March. Then he won the Worldwide Technology Championship in November. He's followed up that latest success with 17th place in the RSM Classic, 15th last week in the Century. So in terrific nick, has got the game for Waialae. He's got lots of form on courses which are similar to this one. And on his debut at Waialae in 2023, when he was ranked 228 in the world, he finished 12th. He was 42nd last year, so this is his first Sony start as a PGA Tour champion. his first Sony start after a century warm-up spin, which we have mentioned how helpful that is. He's the world number 36 now. I think he's a leading contender. Yeah, I was surprised I could get such a big price about Austin Eckroat.
Yeah, when you hear his ranking and then you look at the field, he does look a little bit overpriced, doesn't he?
Absolutely, Dave. You're sharp as a tack today. You've got a very impressive gilet on there. Is that what they're called?
Thank you.
You're looking sharp. You're sounding sharp. I think we're starting the year strongly.
We are. You said it, not me. Right. We are three in out of five. The price is getting bigger.
Yes, sir.
Lovely. Right. Who's next?
Daniel Berger, 60 to 1. Take a bite from the burger, baby. Do you want some relish with that? You should do. Daniel Berger. Back eating at the top table. Daniel Berger has slowly but surely worked his way back to his best after injury problems. He had to take a break from the game, Dave. He had to walk away.
I was going to say, it's been a while, wasn't it? It's been a while.
He had to rest a stricken back. Yeah, the cure for his problems was rest. And obviously when he came back, it took him a while to get going again, but he's fully fit now. He says his game feels better than it ever has. He's pain-free for the first time in ages. From October onwards, he's played some great golf. He finished his 2024 PGA Tour campaign with second place in the RSM Classic. Massive result for him. Should have won, actually. Missed a few putts going down the stretch, but second place secured his PGA Tour future. Now he can focus on getting back to winning ways. This is a four-time PGA Tour champion. The last of those wins was at Pebble Beach. Similar assignment to this one. He was 13th on his Sony Open debut in 2015. 42, 45, 14, 38, 7 in his subsequent Sony starts. He was 5th on his last Kapalua start in 2022. So he likes playing in Hawaii. Maybe we'll be saying well done burger on Sunday night. I like a well done burger, Dave. I'm probably going to celebrate on Sunday night if he wins with a well done burger.
A really interesting tip, that one. I think he's, 60 to 1? You know, at his very best, he'd be in the top 5 in the betting, top 10 in the betting.
Absolutely, Dave. And he's the only one on my tips who didn't play in the Century last week, but it's not like he's had a long time off. Because you remember he got a late invite to the Grant Thornton Invitational. Tony Finau pulled out. Daniel Berger came in to play with Nelly Korda. He had a lovely time with Nelly Korda. They got on like a house on fire. So he's not rusty. It wasn't that long ago, the Grant Thornton. And, you know, Berger determined after that long time off, I think he would have prepared thoroughly for this. So I can take the gamble on that player who didn't play in the Century.
And he will be a player that sort of needs results as well, won't he be?
Yeah, yeah. He's a hungry burger. I'm getting carried away. Let's get on to the next one.
Okay. Right, hungry burger. He's pick number 4. And the final selection is
Nico Echeverria. 80 to 1, the smiley Colombian, the smiliest Colombian on the planet. And he's got every right to be smiling at the moment. He won his maiden PGA Tour title in the Puerto Rico Open in 2023. Similar assignment to this week's. Then he won his second PGA Tour title in the Zozo Championship at the end of October, fended off Justin Thomas in that, you might remember. Then he was 6th in the Worldwide Technology Championship, 29th in the Bermuda Championship, and tied 2nd alongside Berger in the RSM Classic. He loves this sort of course, Dave. He was 12th on his Sony Open debut in 2023. He was ranked 420th in the world at that point, 66th last year, but was in terrible form at the time. He's returning to the course this week in splendid fettle. He's just got engaged, Dave. He got engaged just before Christmas, making an honest woman out of the lovely Claudia. Claudia Echeverria. What a name that's going to be. It's got a lovely ring to it. Quite literally got a lovely ring to it now. And Nico started 2025 brightly. He was slow out the traps last week, much like our players. Lots of rust in his system. Busy festive period with Claudia. Rounds of 66 and 68 over the weekend, Dave. Mid-division finish like our two were. Ideal warm-up spin, I think. And I can see an Echeverria hat trick. I wouldn't be at all surprised. He loves playing in the wind. He often speaks about it. He loves playing in the wind, working his ball in the wind. Plenty of wind in the forecast. Yeah, another one massively overpriced. There were a couple of prices that popped up this week that I couldn't get my head round.
Yeah, I'm just looking at his price here. He does look a big price
80-1 freely spot, available. Right? Freely available at this
spot. Good spot. That is a good spot. Right. A player that I was eyeing up that you didn't mention. Oh, I'm not sure I've ever seen or heard you tip him. And he's not a player that I can actually really enjoy watching play myself. It's Keegan Bradley. What are your thoughts on Keegan Bradley?
Well, yeah, decent last week, wasn't he? And obviously, he played in the century, so would be on your shortlist. I just always think he must have other things on his mind.
Was he in beating a playoff either last year or the year before in this event as well?
Yes. Yeah. Keegan Bradley is the sort of player that could go well on this track. Yeah, for sure. I don't want to put you off if you're thinking of backing him.
But I just can't watch him play though, Steve.
No. And obviously he's a Ryder Cup captain this year. I struggle to see how he can fully focus on the playing side of things with a Ryder Cup looming. I mean, he might be. Whoever he's playing with, they normally pair him in Ryder Cup. They normally pair him with potential Ryder Cup candidates. So he has to keep a beady eye on them, on others, you know, to see whether he wants them in his team. So I don't know. Yeah. I much prefer my guys, but I'm not going to put you off. What price is he?
I think it's about a pony, 25-1.
No. We've got better bets than that, Dave.
Good. Right. Let's talk about the other market leaders. They're not the obvious one is Matsuyama.
Yeah, the double is possible. We've seen the double done before. Ernie Els did it, I believe. Justin Thomas did it during an incredible spell of golf. Well, I think he got a 59 during that as well. So you can retain your form. And Hideki Matsuyama has won the Sony before, as you pointed out earlier on. So, yeah, it's feasible, Dave. It's feasible. But the price is not that exciting.
Single digits,
Single digits. So, I prefer mine for the value.
Okay, right. One or two others. Tom Kim, Russell Henley.
Tom Kim doesn't normally play in this. Russell Henley, I was very tempted by Russell Henley. Hideki Matsuyama beat him in a playoff for this 2022. Henley's maiden PGA Tour title came in this with an incredible performance. So, Henley was on my mind, but I remember he had a very big lead going down the stretch against Hideki Matsuyama. Now, I think he blew a 4 or 5 shot lead. So he's got some scar tissue from 2 years ago at Waialae. If you were going to have 7, I'd have Henley. I remember there were 2 that took ages to get off the shortlist, and Henley was one of them. Robert McIntyre was the other one. I prefer Henley to the other fella you mentioned there.
You can't tip them all. You can't tip them all.
You can't tip them all, no.
Right, should we move on then, Steve? Anything else to add?
I'm just going to have a glug of water. I'm not performing well on the throat front today. I must have been doing too many 180s during the World Championship. Too many 180 shouts. So, yeah, you just talk away while I have a little glug.
Okay, right. We'll move on then to a fairly new event known as the Team Cup, which is basically, I'm sure Steve will fill in the blanks here, Ryder Cup type, Continental Europe versus Great Britain and Ireland. Prices generalised, 7-4 Europe, 12-1-ish the tie, and then anywhere between 4-6 and 4-7 GB and Ireland. 3 days of golf here, Friday through to Sunday. Second running of the event, back in 2023, 14.5 Europe, 10.5 GB and Ireland. Same track, we're off to Abu Dhabi. Steve, talk to us about the course first.
Yes, Abu Dhabi Golf Resort, as they like to call it now. Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates. 7,648 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s, a long desert layout. It was a European Tour event here from 2006 through 2021. We got sunny, warm weather throughout this week. Only gentle breezes. So loads of birdies in the Abu Dhabi Championship we used to have here. Load of birdies this week. A lot of holes to be won in birdies.
Right, I'm not going to whiz through the teams.
I don't mind doing that. I mean, I don't mind doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the teams side by side and I thought Europe looked really good here. Really good.
Well, I'll get you through the teams. Continental Europe, captained by Francesco Molinari for the second time. You're right, the first one was in 2023. Francesco Molinari has got Nicolai Hogar, Rasmus Hogar, Romain Langasque, Matteo Manassero, Rasmus Nygaard-Petersen, Niklas Norgaard, Thorbjørn Olesen, Matthew Pavon and Antoine Rosner. And we've got Great Britain and Ireland, captained by Justin Rose for the first time, taking over from Tommy Fleetwood. The other 9 players, Laurie Kanter, Tommy Fleetwood as a player this week, Tyrrell Hatton, Matthew Jordan, Tom McKibben, Aaron Rye, Jordan Smith, Matt Wallace and Paul Waring. And the format, Dave, Friday is four balls, just five four balls matches. Saturday, five foursomes in the morning, five foursomes in the afternoon. Sunday, 10 singles matches. So 25 points up for grabs.
Right, there is going to be a lot of golf played here. Well, I suppose we could just jump straight into it, Steve. I've given you the prices there. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm glad you say you like continental Europe, because it would have been very awkward if I'd said the other team. But I think 7-4 is a more than
looks
fair
massive.
Price. It's just too much of a disparity in the prices for me. You know, GB and I have been chalked up as hot favourites. I think we're going to see a close contest. Therefore, I have to back Europe at 7-4. Europe won this 14.5, 10.5 in the inaugural Team Cup 2 years ago. GB and I were odds on favourites for that one and were beaten by 4 points. They had a better team that year as well for me. Shane Lowry was in the team. Robert McIntyre was in the team. Lowry and McIntyre absent for this edition. So I've got no passion for chucking my hard-earned money 8-13 GB and I. A small bet on continental Europe is the play for me. I don't think this is a week for slipping into your biggest betting boots, Dave. I know you like to get your big betting boots out the cupboard. I'd leave your big betting boots in the cupboard. Small bet on continental Europe is the outright play for me. Yeah, Francesco Molinari was a winning captain in the inaugural Team Cup. It's called the Hero Cup back then. Francesco Molinari, he's got an Italian to play with this week, Matteo Manassera. I mean, that'd be a very tidy foursomes partnership. You must remember, Dave, 40% of the points are going to be made in foursomes competition. I'm really struggling with my throat today, Dave. 40% of the points are from foursomes. So I think Molinari Manassera could be a good partnership. And I like the Danish core to this side, Dave. I mean, we call it Continentals against GB and I. You could call it if you're being playful, Dave, Denmark against England, because you've got five Danes in this side. You've got eight Englishmen in the GB lineup. So all those Danish players, I absolutely love all of those Danish players. You know, the Hoggard twins, formidable alliance, Dave, if they play together.
And they're going to play together, right?
I think so, because this is a Ryder Cup warm-up, isn't it? You know, this is designed to help Team Europe as a whole. And Luke Donald, whether they publicly admit it or not, Luke Donald is going to be advising on pairings. Luke Donald would be desperate to see the Hoggards together, wouldn't it? Because that is a potential Ryder Cup partnership. So I think Luke Donald would be in the ear of Francesco Molinari to get those two playing together. The other Danes could compare together. I mean, the French have got, there's three Frenchmen on the team. Romain Langasque and Mathieu Pavon are very good friends, I know. So they're almost certainly going to play together because they get on really great. Maybe they can get to 13 points. So you need 13 points to win this competition. I think, you know, taking 7-4 that the Continentals get to 13 points is a fair bet.
Yeah, I think prices were a little bit thin on the ground because it doesn't start until Friday, this one. So have you got sort of any thoughts on who might be sort of the top scorer either side or overall?
No, very much so. Very much so. Yeah. I'll give you my top Continental first. Then I've got a top GB, which I think is the best bet of the competition, actually. So top European, I'm going to go with Rasmus Hoggard. 11-2 Rasmus Hoggard. He'll probably be highly motivated for this competition. He's desperate to make a Ryder Cup debut. He had to watch his brother Nikolai play in the last Ryder Cup. You know, Rasmus was at that one, but he was Thomas Bjorn's buggy driver. That was the only... He had to find him a job to get him there. So basically, he was Thomas Bjorn's buggy driver, Nikolai Hoggard's cheerleader. The idea of the Hoggards playing together in the Ryder Cup has been, you know, it's long touted before that last Ryder Cup, but Rasmus suffered some injury problems, couldn't get in the team. He was actually due to play in that 2023 Hero Cup, but he got injured and was replaced in the side by Nikolai. So Nikolai took his place in the side and then eventually got in the Ryder Cup. So everything went right for Nikolai, everything went wrong for Rasmus. Now, everything's going right for both of them, essentially. They've both got a PGA Tour card. Both got glorious futures ahead. They'll probably both be on the next European Ryder Cup team, I'd say. But Rasmus has been playing better than Nikolai of late. You know, Rasmus, runner-up to Rory McIlroy in the DP World Tour Championship, you might remember when we were on him. Rasmus, runner-up in the race in Dubai. Teeing up in the same region this week, similar assignment. So, yeah, I think Rasmus is a very strong top European bet. I actually prefer the top point scorer bets to the outright this week. I think a small bet on continental Europe outright, and then have bigger stakes on your top scorer bets, because I've seen some quarter the three around on the each way terms. I think Rasmus, I think, is a strong each way investment. And then I'll have a glug while we come on to the top GB and I. Why don't you talk about Great Britain? You love your country, don't you?
Well, listen, I do always wonder whether the prices here are maybe just slightly slanted on the fact that most punters will just don their patriotic boots here and just wade in. And I looked at the two teams and I thought, this looks really good, really competitive. And then when I saw the prices, same as you, Steve, I just thought, wow, like 7-4? Like, that's... just have to bet the value.
Yeah, bet the value. That's what we're doing. Denmark against England. I know you got your patriotic fervour and you want to start singing, England, England, England. But you've got to be sensible in this game and you've got to go where the value is. And that is with continental Europe. But the top GB and I, the Englishman that you can really get behind this week, is Tyrrell Hatton. I think this is the best bet of the whole competition. Tyrrell Hatton to be top GB and I scorer. I've seen 17-4 out there, Dave. When I started betting many moons ago, there was no such thing as 17-4, but it's a very...
That's 4-1 or 9-2, yeah.
4.25-1, I believe. So that's a juicy modern price. Another player for whom this event is very important, I feel. I think Rasmus is going to be pumped. I think Tyrrell's going to get pumped because he's not got many chances to impress Captain Donald, does he? You know, Hatton is a live player, of course. A controversial choice for this team, I suppose, which in itself brings extra motivation. You know, Hatton will be aware plenty of people don't think he should have been picked for this. Maybe some of his teammates, dare I say it, might think he shouldn't have been picked for this. So Hatton needs to show up, produce the goods, reward the good faith that's been shown towards him. And obviously very well equipped to do that because he's one of the best players in this competition. He's one of only two course winners in the field, Dave, from the Abu Dhabi Championship. And he may get to play with the other one. This is what makes him such a strong bet, because he may get to play with Tommy Fleetwood. They're the two that have triumphed at Abu Dhabi Golf Club. They played together in the morning foursomes in the last team cup and won that point.
That'd be a strong pairing, wouldn't it? Really strong.
Absolutely. I mean, Fleetwood played with Lowry in the four balls in the last one, but obviously he can't do that this time. There's no Lowry. You know, this is a Ryder Cup warm-up. Luke Donald is invested in this. He wants to see potential Ryder Cup pairings playing together. And there's not that many players in this competition that are realistic Ryder Cup hopes, actually, is there? I mean, how many of this...
Well, where are the obvious question, Steve, like, where are the big dogs?
Yeah, the big dogs. They obviously feel that
John Rahm, they don't need Rory McIlroy.
If you know you're definitely going to be on the team, you know, you can just say, "I'm sorry, guys, I don't fancy playing in this. I really hope I'm going to get in." You know, you imagine Rory McIlroy saying, "Who's he going to ring? You know, Justin Rose? Justin Rose. Sorry, Justin. Just I think I'm going to be okay to get in the team with that player." Yeah, it's not arrogance. It's just awareness.
He was in the room. It was like he was in the room.
Yeah, wasn't a very good impression, was it? But I understand it. So the ones that are here are sort of thinking they might be in a bit of jeopardy, I suppose. And Hatton certainly needs to put on a show. So I think Donald is going to say...
This is like tryouts, Ryder Cup tryouts.
Ryder Cup tryouts. So the top of the market and the top point scorer markets is the place to go, because they're going to be playing with each other, I think. You know, the Hoggards are going to be playing together in the best partnership the Continentals can get. And you might get Hatton and Fleetwood playing together because there's a potential Ryder Cup partnership. So, that's where the value lies in this competition, I think. A small bet on the Continentals, but a bigger eggs on Hatton and Rasmus, because Hatton's in great form, Dave. You know, he won the Dunhill Links Championship in October, second in the Abu Dhabi Championship at Yas Links, sixth in the DP World Tour Championship, fifth in the Saudi International. You might have missed that one. His last appearance was fifth in this region.
Loves it in that part of the world. He's got a great record in that part of the world, yeah.
Great record. He's the best bet of the tournament in this.
Right, so I've seen 17-4 top GB and I. Would you go as far? I'm sure there'll be a market somewhere just to back him as the top point scorer in the whole event.
It's 7-1 available on that. But yeah, I mean, there's obviously every chance we're going to get loads of dead eats for first here.
But 7-1, I'm happy to take that sort of punt,
yeah. You can have that one as well, Dave. Yeah, I mean, you can have the double, of course. You could have the Hoggard Hatton double. There's many ways to skin this cat without offending cat lovers out there. I know you prefer
right, dogs. Let's box that off. Let's draw a line under that, unless you've got anything else to add. But I'm looking forward to that. Reminder that it starts on Friday, Steve, that one.
Yeah. Friday, Saturday, Sunday action. Saturday is obviously the key day with 10 foursomes. The Hoggards, and then the alternative to Hatton would be Fleetwood. But keep your biggest beans for the Sony Open.
Marvellous. Right, let's have a round up then. Remember to jot in the comments below whether you agree with Steve, who you're backing this week. Let us know. We do skim through them all. We try and mention them as well, particularly if you manage to bag a winner or two. Are you being patriotic this year? Are you hunting the value with Steve? Give us a round up then, Steve. We're off to the Sony Open. 5 in the team. Who are they?
Maverick McNealy, Corey Connors, Austin Eckroat, Daniel Berger, and Nico Echeverria.
And we also have the Team Cup taking place. How do we attack it?
Continental Europe to win the cup. Rasmus Hoggard, top continental. Tyrrell Hatton, top GBNI.
Wonderful. Right, Steve needs to recover. Get that throat back working, my man.
January.
It's been a pleasure as ever. Next week, we've got the Dubai Desert Classic and the American Express, which, just a quick note on that, the chef is out, not taking part.
Is it been confirmed he's not playing in the Amex, is it? Yeah.
I read
it's been in the balance.
Story, yeah,
did you? Yeah, yeah, it's yeah. been in the balance. I don't want him to play. I don't think there's any point in him playing. It's a rubbish event anyway. So I hope he's not playing, but
tune in next week.
Tune in next week. Well, it doesn't matter what the event is for us. If you have a 50-1 winner on the Amex, it's as good as a 51 winner in the Masters, isn't it? Yeah, we're just here for the prizes. So yeah, I'll get my throat sorted and we'll come back next week strong. It's just January, Dave, isn't it? Does anyone like January? I just don't.
It's cold. That's why I've got the turtleneck, the gilet. It's just cold.
Yeah, I need to get one of those gilets. It's so stylish, isn't it? Cold, dark mornings. I need some sleep. I'm going to sleep until the Sony Open. And then hopefully after the Sony Open, we'll be as smiley as Nico Echeverria.
Yeah, we're cold, but we'll be enjoying the golf from Hawaii and in the desert as well. So that'll warm us out with a winner or two. Do remember to enjoy the golf and, of course, gamble responsibly. And we'll see you next time.